Hello there, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Welcome to the Sith List.
And here we go.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy.
I know this is hard for you, but winter is coming.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am the danger.
Avengers!
Assemble.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Who's scruffy looking?
Less.
Might wanna buckle up, baby.
Carlos.
Smash you.
King Tom.
Hey guys, you ever see that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back?
And of course, Randy.
Change? Yep. Big change.
They've got your weekend geek covered. And you? You're on the Sith List.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 378 of the Sith List. I am one of your four hosts tonight, Araj Dilshahi, and my co-pilots this evening. First of all, Les and Boo are not here. We're going to miss you, but we're going to move forward, and we're going to have a great show. But I tell you who is here, the king of all pods, King Tom Chansky. What's up, buddy?
I'm not used to going this early. I need more of a buffer.
Yes, I know it. I know it. It is weird. I know. Randy, you're up next. I know it's early, but how you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. I want to hear about Tom, though.
I do want to hear about Tom. Okay, I'm going to try it again. Maybe maybe he's a good... And the man that I call the king of all pods, Mr. King Tom Chansky. What is up, bro?
Boo Arguello.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. And the man...
The man we call El Hombre.
Rick Struthers. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, everybody?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Everybody. How you doing, bud? No, there was a song. Wasn't there a song like...
Everybody.
That's what I was thinking of. There it is. I'm glad you three are here on us four. Yes. So Mr. Gonzalez and Mr. Boo Arguello will not be here, but, we're going to, yeah, like I said earlier, we're going to forge on to have some fun and, we're going to do our thing. Guys, check us out. Sithlist.com for all things Sithlist, including reaction videos that we're not doing right now, but we have the old ones up. So check them out on YouTube. Subscribe. And we talked about it over the weekend, Randy and I. We're going to be doing something. We don't know what, but we want to keep that momentum going. We're going to figure that out. And hopefully some other shows come out. I don't know. So we'll see. Maybe we'll react to watching this episode of The Sith List. No. That wouldn't be a good reaction. No. Mm-hmm. No. But merch and all kinds of cool stuff. Our episodes of our podcast, obviously. All that stuff. Sithlist.com. Check us out there for all kinds of cool stuff. Guys, what is up? Happy Halloween to you all. Hope you had a great Halloween. Hope your kids didn't take any apples. Because back when I was a kid, we couldn't have any apples because there could be razor blades in them or needles shoved inside the middle of them. So no apples. I did not go to Jose Feliciano's house this year. Even Lorena really wanted me to. I did not go and repeat and make... Somebody asked me, Lorena asked me how much, what was the most I made in one Halloween? I think it was $20 because he used to give out $5 bills. And I went, you know, four times. So I did not go this year. I went to the police station with Malik because that's where he wanted to go. And he got there and he yelled out loud, "Where are all the police?" Because there was one girl with no cops there. So he wasn't happy about that. But
was he visiting Uncle Boo?
No, he was not. He was not.
They're being questioned about the Jose Feliciano thing from last year.
All right, exactly. Yeah. They're investigating. Yeah. Back pain. How was everybody else's Halloween? Eric, did you go out and do the tricks and treats and all that?
You know what, man? My kids are right at that age where their Stella wanted to hand out candy instead. And trick-or-treating has really sort of died off. Not nearly as many kids going through the neighborhoods these days.
Right.
And, you know, I think a lot of what did it is like trunk or treats. If you guys aren't familiar with them, places will put on these events where people will like decorate the back of their cars. And I mean, there's some really creative stuff, man. They do one at my kid's school, and it's that way they can, it's a one-stop shop. Plus it's almost like a fall fest. They hang out and
play. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And so at that point, and then of course here, that's when the weather finally turned. Hey, everybody, it's fall now.
Oh, it is
38 degrees on Halloween night.
Shit.
And windy as can be. Let's go door to door.
Yeah, that sucks. We did two trunk or treats, which was pretty cool. It was my first trunk or treats I've ever done. And they are pretty cool. Pretty interesting. Some of the cool stuff. There was a Hera Syndulla. And Malik went up to her and said, it's Hera. She could not believe Malik knew.
Yeah,
it was really cool. And she was really good. It was really good. I even yanked on her things. They were real. It was pretty cool. No, just kidding. I didn't yank on anything. I kid. How about you, King Tom? Did you go?
Buddy, my eyes are down here.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we had snow. Snowed. Yeah, we go outside and it was like snowing, just like very light flurries, and it lasts like maybe the first 10-15 minutes. And yeah, people were trick or treating like crazy in our neighborhood. Nice. My daughter, for a while, she's wanted to make her own Mandalorian armor. And I, you know, got some tips from the Jedi Master, that's a friend of ours, Sal, as to how to do it. We didn't really do the whole thing. What we did, we got a one of those Bo-Katan Black Series helmets.
Right.
Spray painted it, painted over it. And then that was really the only armor piece. You know, we had some shin guards that I repainted, and we did some other things. But she really looked like her own Mandalorian. And then my son was an off-the-shelf Boba Fett. And they were happy because they got a lot of compliments. And one guy actually said, hey, take three pieces each because, you know, I like the Mandalorians. So that was really cool. Nice.
Malik was the off-the-shelf Boba Fett. King Tom sent me a picture, and I sent him a picture right back, and they were wearing the same outfit on the same day. The
same, just different sizes.
But that's a pretty good off-the-shelf
Boba
Fett. I was very impressed with it. Yeah, I was very impressed with it. It's pretty
much
cool.
Better than, like, I think when I was, you know, six, I was Darth Vader, and it was this little cheap cardboard mask and a yellow smock that said Darth Vader, because everyone knows the real Darth Vader hangs out in a yellow smock that says Darth Vader.
When he chills, he does.
Yeah, it's his casual outfit.
Maybe that's why they didn't take you to Disneyland. They're embarrassed.
That's very likely.
Yeah. It's very possible. What's the shittiest? Like, my shittiest costume, and God rest his soul, my dad, I wanted to be a ninja one year. He's like, I can make you a ninja outfit. He made me a ninja outfit, but it was just like a cloth covering my face. And I had my eyes open. I looked like a ghost. It wasn't even a ninja outfit. And then he went and bought, like, from a swap meet, he bought me those, like, slippers, you know, like the one that Doughboy wore in Boys in the Hood. So I had that on, and I went to school. Nobody knew what I was, you know. And that was during, like, American Ninja and how ninjas were really popular back then. I didn't look like no damn ninja.
Damn.
But whatever. Yeah, still hurts. That and the Voltron, they didn't buy me. Mm-hmm. But let's not get into that, because then I'll start crying. Did you do anything at all, Randy?
No, I don't have any kids, so I'm at that point where I just talk about, oh, remember when Halloween wasn't about dressing sexy? Like, I just do that now. I'm just an old man who yells at the sky.
But I will say, Randy looked very, 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 like, fully Halloweened out on Saturday. My birthday on Saturday, and we went to a brewery, and it was good times. So thank you, everybody that showed up. Nick showed up from Thank the Maker and Bayside. He was there, and then old friends, and it was a great time. Sal came. It was phenomenal. It was good times. But yeah, tell the people what you were, Randy.
I was a Street Fighter. He was a Street Fighter. And Joy was Jerry from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Fantastic costumes.
Fantastic.
Do we have some pictures?
No.
I don't think we did any pictures. Like, I was Fred Flintstone, and I don't know. I haven't even seen myself as Flintstone, so I probably look like an idiot. But
I'm going to chalk it up to wanting to live in the moment. That's what I'm going to call it.
That's right. Live in the moment.
Yeah.
The moment.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't want to bring people down on this one, but I mean, that day, that night, we got the news, unfortunately, that Matthew Perry passed away, which was just awful, awful news in the middle of like a birthday celebration. But I was going to just segueing into this real quick. On October 28th, Matthew Perry was reported dead at age of 54, found in his jacuzzi, passed away, which is awful, awful, awful. And this one hit me pretty hard because, you know, you feel like you know, like the Kobe Bryant thing, you feel like you've grown up with these guys, you know. And these actors and actresses, and you saw them every week. You hung out with them. They made you laugh. So this one was a tough one. And so we have a moment of sound, and I wanted to play one of my favorite clips of all time of Friends and Matthew Perry. It's just like a 2.5 minute clip, but I thought it'd be poignant to do that now.
Hey, anybody know a good tailor?
You need some clothes altered?
No. I'm just looking for a man to draw on me with chalk.
Why don't you go see Frankie? My family's been going to him forever. He did my first suit when I was 15. No, wait, 16. No, excuse me, 15. All right, when was 1990?
Okay, you have to stop the Q-tip when there's resistance. Yeah. Despite the yummy bagels and palpable tension, I've got pants that need to be altered.
Oh, hey, Chandler, when you see Frankie, tell him Joey Tribbiani says hello. He'll know what it means.
You sure he's going to be able to crack that code?
How long do you want the cuffs?
At least as long as I have the pants.
I just got that. Okay. Now we'll do your inseam.
Yo, paisan. Can I talk to you for a sec? Your tailor is a very bad man.
Frankie, what are you talking about?
Hey, what's going on?
Joey's tailor took advantage of me.
What?
No way. I've been going to the guy for 12 years.
Hey, oh, come on. He said he was going to do my inseam, then he ran his hand up my leg, and then there was definite...
What?
Cupping.
That's how they do pits. First they go up one side, they move it over, then they go up the other side, they move it back, and then they do the rear.
Schwimmer's timing on this is awesome, man.
Ross, will you tell him? Isn't that how a tailor measures pants?
Yes, it is. In prison? What's the matter with you?
What? That's not... Hey, when the doctor does that hernia test, that's okay.
There you go. Matthew Perry, unfortunate. Unfortunate, unfortunate, unfortunate. See, we're losing so many people. I think we lost another. We lost Bob Knight tonight, which was... Yeah. Bobby Knight was great. Basketball coach in history of basketball, one of the greatest ever. But yeah, so just want to throw that in there because I know Eric, you're a big Friends guy. I think you've watched every episode a couple times, right? I know I have.
Dude, I loved Friends.
Yeah,
I really did. I loved Friends.
Yeah, so did I.
All right, guys. Let's get into the box office because Miss Swift might have been knocked off. Might have been.
Here's Johnny.
I know it was you, Fredo.
Guys, Five Nights at Freddy's scores a monster opening. The popular video game adaptation wasn't affected by its day and date release on Peacock. Oh, I didn't know it was released on Peacock. As fans flocked to theaters and made it one of the highest grossing horror films of the year. So there you have it. These numbers are pretty crazy. Five Nights at Freddy, $80 million. And it's at 170 worldwide, by the way. Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, 15.4. Killers of the Flower Moon, 9.3. After Death, 5 million. The Exorcist, Believer, 3.1. So there you have it. I never played this game. And I know this game was massive. It was an app, correct? It was a game you could download. It was a right, Randy? Did you ever play this game? You're checking? Okay.
No, never played it. It kind of got popular at the same time like Twitch streaming did, so watching people play it was kind of what boosted its popularity, and it's kind of a younger demographic. It's basically walking through like an abandoned Chuck E. Cheese in the middle of the night.
And PG-13 too. Essentially what it is. Was it
PG-13, really?
Yeah, very smart of them to do it that way. Very smart.
It so Stella went to see it with her friends, and Henry really wanted to see it, but he was apprehensive of being scared. So we ended up, we weren't Peacock subscribers up in Chillon, but we went ahead and dropped it so that we could watch the movie together. It's not terrible. It's real fast and loose with some of the, like, the plot points, listen, spoilers, okay? The main bad guy, his daughter's a cop, and she's known about his shenanigans all this time and doesn't like him, but still didn't do anything about it. It's pretty disturbing, the, like, story behind it, but also it's soft serve. They don't... Anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Not too shabby.
Nah.
$20 million cost. Right?
What was that, buddy?
I said it only cost $20 million to make that movie, so they're just
$20 million.
They had some
my gosh, like,
popular YouTubers playing bit parts in the thing.
Oh, that's smart.
It was kind of neat the way they like wrote their dialogue and did it. One guy, I can't remember his YouTube channel, something theory. I don't remember, but anyway,
Film Theory.
Is that it?
That's MatPat, right?
I don't know. Yeah, he's a waiter at a diner.
Yeah,
that's and he's like, well, you know, lunch is the most important meal of the day, and the lady goes, "That's breakfast." He goes, "That's a theory, I guess." And that, you know, it's like, clap, clap, clap. But it was cool that they gave me the opportunity to be in a movie about the thing that probably put him on the map.
They should have had Blippi on there. Dropping deuces on people.
Five Nights of Blippies.
Five Nights of Blippi.
Yeesh.
Ugh, yeesh. Oof. Yeesh, yeesh. Did anybody see anything else this weekend other than that? Eras Tour, still not, like, you help them beat Taylor, buddy. How dare you? How dare you do that, bro? How dare you? You still haven't seen the Eras Tour, correct?
I haven't.
And by the way, the Eras Tour is only playing on the weekends. That's what I heard. Is that correct?
That was the case. I don't know if that's still a thing. And so, honestly, that's what's kept me from seeing it.
right. So that's interesting. King Tom, did you watch anything?
I don't think I did.
All right. Randy?
I watched some excellent episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It's always the best.
We're like in the...
Oh, I did watch something.
Where it gets super dark. Like the episodes, the gang goes to hell. It's a two-parter. It's pretty good. It's the end of a season. And then the beginning of the next season, there's an episode called The Gang Turns Black. That's a musical.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Written by Charlie Day.
Shit.
It's something.
I love Charlie Day.
It's something.
I watched the Beckham
documentary, which if you're a soccer fan at all, it's or a pop culture fan, it's really good. It's done really well, and it's directed by Rivers something. Yikes, I'll get his name. He was Cuomo? An actor. No, he was that? No. Not Rivers Cuomo, no. But he was an actor in the 80s. Oh, man. Fisher Stevenson. Not Rivers. Fisher Stevens. Fisher Stevens or Stevenson?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Fisher
Stevens.
Fisher Stevens. Stevens.
Fisher Stevens. He directs this thing, and he's the one doing the interview. So you hear his voice a lot, and he's in it a lot. Done very well. Really well done.
He was in Lost.
Yes, he was in Lost. Yes, he was. That's right.
Also in Short Circuit too.
He was Short Circuit too. Johnny Five is alive.
Yeah.
One time in Bombay. He was married, if I'm not mistaken, to Michelle Pfeiffer. He was married to someone.
Wouldn't even surprise me. Wouldn't even.
I'm telling you, it's something like that. It's something like, oh my God, are you kidding me? He's married to her. It didn't last too long.
Fisher Stevens, dude. Come on.
Fisher Stevens. So it's a great encapsulation of an era, like late 90s, early 2000s, that it was just done very well. So check it out. And if you're a soccer fan, it's just a plus. It's just amazing footage. And Beckham comes across like a super humble, nice dude, man. Like, as much as they try not to make him that, he just, it's hard for him. He just seems like a nice guy. So yeah, I watched that. So that was good. But I do have a new segment, guys. I teased the Patreon members about. No, this is going to be a good one, guys. You know, we did trailer trash, and we've kind of exhausted the amount of shit trailers that were out there. It's hard to find some trailers that we haven't seen that are bad. So I said, hey, let's try primetime purgatory. Let's go for TV shows that were really shitty. And I've found a bunch. So we're going to talk about one, and I will just show you the trailer first, or like a little piece of it. It's hard to get trailers for TV shows, but this show was called Manimal. I don't know if anybody remembers it, because I sure don't.
That sounds very
familiar. Jonathan Chase. Wealthy, young, handsome. A man with the brightest of futures. A man with the darkest of pasts. From Africa's deepest recesses to the rarefied peaks of Tibet, heir to his father's legacy and the world's darkest mysteries.
My son, you must have faith and learn. This is not the end. This is the beginning.
I love this part.
I think he was a Jedi.
Yeah. Just like Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan Chase.
Look at this.
Master of the secrets that divide man from animal.
Oh, Black Panther.
Animal from man. Manimal.
Watch, I have a segment. Look, I'm going to pause this for a second.
This is on NBC, because, I think.
Hey, it just doesn't sound right, and it doesn't look right, his facial expressions. That's all I have to say. Let's keep going. This is the best part. Look at that. Look at the beak.
Yeah.
He's turning into a pigeon or a hawk. Oh, what is that? For love of Jesus.
He's becoming a hawk.
He's a hawk. Oh.
Man, I can't believe they put this much screen time into the
transformation. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There he is. Guys, Manimal, Randy, is there any backstory to this, or
backstory to this, man. Like, first off, the reason they put so much time into those shots is Stan Winston did all those special effects.
Mm-hmm.
And like about 4 months before that, they gave him a ridiculous budget to do 3 transformations that they shot behind a blue screen so they could just reuse them with different plates in the back. So he did the hawk, the panther, and a snake. So he can change into any animal, mind you. But in the 8 episodes that it ran, more often than not, he was a hawk, a panther, or a snake. And yeah, they shot his face like from all angles so they could do those transformations. It was supposed to actually go up against the Incredible Hulk. Well, not go up against it. It was supposed to be the answer to replace the Incredible Hulk because it ended in 82. This started in 83. And they're like, you know what? Fucking guy transforms into some shit. Like, we can one up that. Hulk is only the beginning. Kind of like what Manimal said.
I wonder why I wonder why they didn't mix and match. And this week he's a Swanther.
Right.
I don't think Stan Winston had that much time.
I wonder if the director literally told him, like, I want your O face. I want you to make the noises you do during sex, and I want you to make those facial reactions. Because he was even breathing hard. He was like,
and actually, Stan Winston actually directed those transformations. That was part of his stipulation. Maybe, I'm doing this. I'm getting my directorial credit. I'm directing these trans. So if those O faces, that's all Stan, man.
Eastern European Jews.
That's, you know.
And it was, it came out to go against hit show Dallas.
Dallas, JR.
That's literally the show. Like, there's a commercial segments of a shark in a pool. It's supposed to be Manimal going for JR. That. That's like, awesome. They were really like, we're going to do something totally different. Yeah.
Go for it.
And,
well, yeah. So,
I'm not done, sir. I am not done.
Please. You've done your research.
This is not the end. It is just the beginning.
Oh my gosh. Please go. Please keep
going. In 2010, Night Wolf came out. It was another Stan Winston joint, and Manimal had an appearance. They were trying to
read
with the daughter of Manimal, but he was still in it too. Manimal. They're trying to do a like soft reboot there.
Like anybody remembered who the fuck Manimal was.
Dude, everyone, dude. Like the fact that this is even the first one, I think is insulting to all our prestigious Manimal fans. We have so many of them, and I think you're doing them a great disservice right now.
I apologize. I didn't know. I was really shocked to hear that this was a show. So this information is really it's just very nice. Yeah, please keep
what going. Was it NBC?
I believe it was NBC, yeah.
Let me check. Must see television there, King Tom. Well, these are the kind of things we're going to be doing.
That's NBC joint.
NBC joints. So these kind of shows. The next one I'm going to do next week is, I can't even believe this was a show that was in Britain. And it's called Heil Honey, I'm Home. Now, yes, it's a sitcom about Hitler coming back to modern day somehow and having a family. And it lasted one day. So we're going to dive one day. We're going to dive deep into Heil Honey, I'm Home next week, which should be very interesting. I want to know how they pitched that idea to the executives. And then somebody goes, that's a fucking great idea. Let's bring Hitler back in a sitcom. So hey, please do the deep dive on that one next week, Randy.
Already on it. another funny thing that I thought, they made action figures for that show.
Wait,
for Manimal? I didn't know.
Heil Honey, Manimal.
Oh.
The Hitler one.
Oh, not the Hitler show. Not yet. Not that I know of. I mean, I haven't done all the research. So there might be.
Oh, God. Oh, my God, no.
I got those fake Legos for my son one day by accident.
Oh.
We got a World War II Lego set from like Europe, and there was a little Lego Hitler.
No way.
Yes. Yeah.
There was a little Hitler Lego.
Like it was a minifig with a stupid fucking mustache.
Did you have to put the mustache on?
No, it was like
on. Because that would have been crazy, you know, like if you had to.
It was on Amazon. It was like a World War II fake Lego set.
That is insane. Oh wow, that's awful. That's just awful. So they had Manimal action figures? I wonder if they're worth anything. This is kind of weird shit.
I doubt it. Well, the funny thing about them was because they didn't know like where, like to, do you make a panther, a snake, and a hawk toy? Or do you make the dude before he transforms? So what they did, and this is really what I thought was interesting, they did figures of him in mid-transformation.
He's halfway.
Like a snake man. a Hawkman and a Pantherman. Like, yeah. So they're really weird looking, and you like you wouldn't realize that they're like Manimal toys. Had the show taken off and made it to its 9th episode.
So only 8 episodes. Only eight episodes. Yeah. What year did it come out, Randy?
1983.
So they decided in 2010 to bring that character back. And that, also well, the daughter of Manimal.
Because they had Nightwolf was on, and they were just
Nightwolf, of course. Yeah.
We got a special for all you Nightwolf fans. We think you're really gonna dig this. He's back.
He's back for He's all back. You hidden fans.
For all you well, hidden, just un you know. It's forgotten. I wouldn't say they were hidden.
Right. Whew. Guys, check it out. Manimal stuff. If you're not on Patreon, you don't see the visuals that we put up in the trailer. Please go on YouTube and check out Manimal. And you won't be disappointed. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about with the O face. I mean, he's really deep into it.
The action figures were pretty great.
Were they? Yeah. Can you bring it up? Can you send me a link or something?
Well, I just dropped a. Hang on, let me find it again.
Yeah, because I think people that pay the extra money on Patreon, I think they should see this. I mean, those are all the Manimal fans, anyways.
Let me just send this to you, and then you can do with it what you will.
Yes, thank you. So oh, there it is. Okay.
Sorry, it put the whole Google search.
Oh yes, I got it. Oh, I'm bringing it up right now, bro. Don't you worry. Manimal is going to be a part of the StreamYard in about 2 seconds here. Man, Manimal, man, they're almost like GoBots, really.
Kind of. In that, the
very small, very small. Thing,
it's plaidstallions.com. They refer to them as in-action figures.
Yes. In action. Yeah, there they are. Manimals. What are those little toys that had the buff dudes? They looked like that a little bit. What were those things?
Oh, remember those? Talking about man,
He-Man?
What were,
No. The little miniature dudes that were naked. God. They had bare chested
muscle. Yeah, thank you.
Muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude looks like a muscle character.
He does have a muscle, but
you're right. He's like turning. He's a snake, though. I don't see anything other.
But he's
than
got
a
like
snake.
Arms coming out of his snake body. But
oh yeah, I see that to the body. You're right. Like
they're not opposable muscles. In any way.
Yes. Manimal. This got to be it's worth like, something.
It's like literally the toy that you would find. It looks like the toy you would find next to a GoBot.
I bet you less.
At a Walgreens.
Still. At a Walgreens.
I bet you less.
At a Woolworths.
Yeah, it would Woolworths, be at Woolworths. Yes. Woolworths. That's right. Yeah. Montgomery Ward had these.
Downstairs at Ben Franklin.
Yes. That's right. You guys think Les has these? Like in a frame or something? I bet you he does. I bet you Les knows Manimal. I bet you anything. I bet you. Well, thank you, Randy. I appreciate the dig, the dive, and all that stuff. And yeah. And I think we're ready for some Star Wars talk if there's any.
Greetings. This is Grand Admiral Thrawn aboard the ISS Chimera. You are currently listening to the Sith List. I know a great deal about you because of this artistic choice. May warrior's fortune smile upon your efforts.
Well, listen, this isn't exactly Star Wars, but it's Star Wars adjacent. Just want to mention that today it was announced that Disney is buying the remaining share of Hulu from Comcast.
Oh, I knew that was
$8.61 billion.
Wow. My goodness.
Yep. So they'll own it all. Own it all. So good on them.
And that idea of bringing it all into one streaming network is probably going to be a reality, right?
Here's what I can tell you. The Hulu app sucks.
Sucks. The worst.
It is terrible.
It is terrible.
But speaking of Disney buying stuff, 11 years ago, Disney bought Lucasfilm and gave us the hopes and dreams of having new Star Wars movies, and they did it. By God, they did it. And we love them.
Bro, if it wasn't, in a weird way, if it wasn't for them buying, we wouldn't be here today. Because I wasn't going to listen to podcasts about Star Wars. I mean, I got so excited about that situation. I instantly went on all the podcasts back then and hit them up and just start listening and got excited and went crazy. And then got me excited to do a podcast, not necessarily all about Star Wars, but that was 90% of my, you know, intent and drive was because of how excited I was that Disney bought it. So it's a great day for me. You know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have met any of you guys. Maybe Randy at like a bar or something, accidentally.
Yeah, probably.
But no, you're right. It has shaped the course of the last several years of my life. And has, like, my best friends are guys like you that I met.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Pretty wild. Thank you, Dizzy.
Yeah. And listen, I love Star Wars and I love the stuff we've gotten, but I'm maybe in the minority. The masterminds over at South Park released a South Park episode about Lucas, about Disney specifically, and how all the movies suck. And they really go at Kathleen Kennedy. And I haven't seen it. I don't think I have anything that South Park's on. But I would definitely watch it. And listen.
Go ahead, buddy.
I didn't even know South Park was still on. So.
Oh, yeah. They've kind of gotten to where it's just special event stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have had some COVID episodes that were pretty funny. And, you know, I'll give South Park this. They take a look at what's going on and pretty much strip it down to its, here's what's happening.
The core.
You know what I mean? Like, with the whole COVID thing, they played both sides of, you know, the mass hysteria versus the people's inability to recognize it as a real thing. And but regardless, you know, this brought out the nuts as expected. And Gina Carano suddenly became relevant again on Twitter.
Sweet Christmas.
Waded in about how Kathleen Kennedy was going to make them apologize and all this stuff. It's like, I think you misunderstand their relationship to her versus your relationship.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know what, though? Whatever, dude. Best of luck to her, I suppose. I don't know, but... this whole thing, I'm interested to see it. Randy, have you seen it?
I want to see it. And honestly, I was a little surprised. I saw the trailer a couple weeks ago, and it seemed like they've always kind of been centrist about their leanings. And I thought this was a little surprising that they would go so hard. But I think the trailer might be misleading, and there might be, you know, playing the both sides of the argument kind of thing.
That's exactly what I thought they were going to be doing. So I haven't seen it, but I was going to ask you, Randy, if you've seen it yet. Because I guarantee you they take shots at the other side as well. There's no way that those guys wouldn't.
Well, it seems like it's emboldening a lot of people who haven't even seen it yet and just assume they know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 100%.
And what's wild, and listen, I mean, I get it, I suppose, but here's some creatives who said it. So that means everybody really thinks this. That's a big stretch, you know. I suspect that Matt and Trey and I would disagree on several things. I think they probably disagree with each other on several things, you know. But regardless, I'd like to see it. Most of the stuff they do is pretty fun. Good on them. I'd be interested to hear anybody's feedback if you do see it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll probably check it out. I assume there's enough meat on the bone to lampoon both sides. So,
Yeah, I mean, listen, has everything they've done been a win? No, but that's okay. And I mean, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit, right. I guess.
It doesn't mean they're not funny and they're not geniuses. They obviously have made a product that people love for so many years. Just because we don't agree with some of the things that they say, if that's the case, I haven't even seen it. But it's not like they're the end all be all of this discussion. Like, just because they said it means that it's true, or of course it's their opinion. They can think it.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
I give a shit.
You know, the one thing that I would probably take exception with that of what I've seen of what they've done is in the episodes where George Lucas and Steven Spielberg when the prequels came out and the whole bit, that they raped their childhood and literally shows George Lucas with like stormtroopers running around his house that he's bending over the pinball machine and raping on the regular. And
oh yeah,
you know, sexual assault is
so bad.
Not funny.
That's straight from the accused too. Oh my
yeah.
God. That's awful.
Who was in that?
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. That's yeah. right. But anyhow, I don't know why this popped up in like the news cycle this week, because I feel like this was old. But Tony Gilroy was talking about how much George Lucas genuinely liked Rogue One. And he apparently had some direct things that George said that was basically just like, wow, good job. I mean, that was the long and short of it. But I remember this, you know, them talking about this, what, like during the summer sometime, but for whatever reason, it popped back up. Oh, but yeah, man, Rogue One ruled, and I could see why George Lucas would like it.
Sure did.
I loved it.
It's awesome. One of my favorites from this era.
I like it because it's just such a departure of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, since we're talking about scary stuff, we can talk about a book that came out, Star Wars Tales from the Death Star, written by Kevin Scott. And I don't know. I haven't read this. King Tom, have you read this?
No, I haven't read it yet.
Really?
Yeah, I've had a few things going on.
Yeah, I know, buddy.
I was just, yeah. I had a couple of things on my plate.
Yeah, but anyway, it's real Sith stuff, you know?
Yeah, cool, man.
So it like the description makes it sound pretty cool, and I bet the story would be interesting. But
I like Kevin Scott.
So
he's a good author.
Yeah, he is.
I think they were originally going to call it Six Nights at Sheev's, but they were afraid they were going to get But anyhow, I don't have anything else, man.
A little late, but you deserve it.
Nothing concrete.
Okay, well, that's fine. Obviously, we don't. Well, thank you for that, by the way. Let me get us out of this background because we're done with Star Wars.
Take us to
more. Yeah, Star Wars. You know, I know. I could put this one on. It's kind of cool. Hey, look, it's Mario. Mm-hmm. But so, question for you, King Tom. You put something in our DM group, and it looked very, very interesting. I didn't have a chance to read it. You want to? Because we're not gonna have any boo bits tonight. But I do think we should put the video on, because I mean, why wouldn't we, right?
Why not?
Like for boo. Right. Better be
Bits. Oh yeah, it's Bits, Mike. It's Bits, I tell you. Uh-huh, uh-huh. It's Bits.
I just kibbled my bits.
Go boo. That's for you, buddy.
So Variety ran a pretty big article today, called. The headline was Crisis at Marvel. Jonathan Majors' backup plans, the Marvels reshoots, reviving of original Avengers, and more issues revealed. And probably the easiest way to describe it is the sky is falling at Marvel. Everything that's going wrong can go wrong. Marvel is in crisis. Marvel creatives led by Kevin Feige had a big meeting in September talking about what to do with the company. And you know, they after Avengers Endgame, they put out Spider-Man Far From Home. I think it was Far From Home. Yeah, Far From Home. And then right after that, they launched pretty hard on the Disney Plus series. And the idea was to always have something Marvel new coming out, whether on Disney Plus or whether in movie theaters. And because of that push for quantity, the quality has suffered. And this is what the article is saying. Audiences have noticed. A lot of it has to do with, you know, shoddy CGI or stories that were just kind of rammed through and then that they hoped would be fixed in post-production. And sometimes they were fixed, sometimes they weren't fixed. And right now, Marvel is also facing a major thing with Jonathan Majors and his legal troubles. And
yeah.
All of these topics were discussed at this meeting. And then you know, there are some things like Blade, the movie with Mahershala Ali, has gone through several iterations and different writers, different directors, just in and out, and they haven't been able to settle on something. And it's someone even said that at one point it was pitched for the original Avengers to come back. Just write a check, bring all the original Avengers back, and have everything go from there. It's, yes, a lot of this stuff is going on at Marvel, and they do have some issues that they have to fix. And they, you know, they haven't really settled on things like what to do with Jonathan Majors. One person mentioned that they might instead shift away from Kang and instead move to Doctor Doom. Ooh. The article slightly mentions, but I do think it's underselling the fact that two of the things that people really want to see, they haven't even barely hinted at, and that's the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. Four.
Right.
And, you know, Deadpool 3 coming out next year, hopefully, if the strike ends. And Marvel, because a lot of the ideas behind the movies, they've been these major movies, and they expect every Marvel to make $500 million. And personally, I think that's a bit unrealistic, and they may have to shift that. But I don't think everything is going wrong at Marvel. They do have some problems they have to overcome, but there's also a lot of potential and good things in store.
Right. Yeah, I you know what I think? Oh, go ahead, Randy.
No, I was just going to... the COVID thing, obviously, was a big effect to everything, but so many shows, and it happens with Star Wars, I could argue, that you devalue the rarity of the product when it's so heavily available on TV. Like, it's no longer an event. And I think that has hurt them, especially Marvel, because prior to that, they were doing crazy numbers with anything just to see what happened next. And at a certain point, you see so much of it, you're not really so much concerned with what happens next, or you're only concerned with what happens next, and you're just getting like blurbs of what happened in the episode.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with Randy. Like 100%. That's, and also we kind of knew that. To me, it's like Disney / Marvel are playing with house money right now. Like, they hit so hard for so long. It's and it's not time to panic. Like, take a deep breath. You start panicking, it's going to end up being like DC, where you start pushing the narrative so much and so quickly that you forget what it was all about. And this is predictable that this was going to happen, just because what Randy said, and also those characters that we are so, you know, invested into, are gone. So those are some of the biggest characters in the history of comics, you know, some of them. So now we have to start figuring out, are we really going to put all of our emotions into, I don't know, fucking Ant-Man or She-Hulk or whoever this is? Just slow down, take a deep breath, get some good writers, and just, you've already made $1 trillion off these things. Just chill. And just, I know they want to, I know that's not how it works. And I know the board is going to freak out if they're not making tons of money, but if they start fucking around, the same thing's going to happen that happened in DC. They're going to push the narrative too quickly. There's going to be too many shows, too much shit. Just like Randy said, it's not an event anymore. You're not dying to buy your pre-sale tickets to go see this version of Infinity War or Endgame. It just take a deep breath.
Everything's kind of add on to that is, like, I think it's in their best interest to pull away from the strategy they've been using and just let directors make good movies instead of trying to, like, do that formula of, like, all right, it's going to be kind of funny, but it's not going to be a comedy. It's going to have a little bit of everything for it. Just let a director make a movie they're good at. Disney especially has a thing where they hire a director and they're like, oh, wait a minute, we wanted you to do your thing, but now we realize we don't want you to do your thing. We want you to do our thing. And they do it all the time. But
in order for this to succeed and to have longevity, it has to continually be interesting. And if they stick with the formula, it's not going to stay that way. They have to have directors do what they do well.
And it's sitting right in front of them. DC, if you see the successes of DC, it's because they let those directors make their side piece movies and make an art type of art house film. And they've made $1 billion, both films, right? Just let that happen. Just let that. Look at James Gunn's last fucking Guardians. Made $900 million. So you make a good movie, you have a good writing, you have good direction, it's going to get, the word's going to get spread around. It's going to be a hit. Just
I think Nolan's kind of like a better example of that. Like Nolan.
Nolan.
I mean, I'm sure there were notes at a certain point when they realized they could make money. But for the most part, they let that guy make a movie that looks like a Christopher Nolan, feels like a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, but even Batman Begins, which is personally my favorite one, which I get a lot of shit for, I love that movie. It doesn't seem like a superhero movie at all. So yeah, they should just chill, calm down a little bit. Okay, you just raise your prices on your theme fucking parks. You're gonna make it back there. It's all good. It's all good. Jesus. All right, guys. Did you see there's a Highlander reboot coming out? Harry Cavill is going to be Highlander, and it's got a $200 million budget, it looks like, or $150 million budget, somewhere north of $150 million. So I mean, I know you guys are big Highlander fans. I just saw it because of OG Rob sending me the DVD a couple of years ago.
Did they consider anybody else for the role?
I don't know. That's a great question. I didn't see that. I just saw that Cavill has signed on and he's going to, oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. No.
Nobody?
No.
I tried to set you up, people.
No.
There can be only one.
Oh, got you. Yes. See, I've only seen it once. This should have been, that's Randy's fault. He's a big Highlander guy. I'm just kidding. If Les was here, he would have got it for sure. Speaking of OG Rob, who we saw on Saturday, he sent us an email last week and I didn't see it until we finished the show. Hey, Sithless, it's been a while, but I wanted to weigh in an ongoing debate that you have had on the show for years. Since I didn't have the adequate background knowledge, I didn't feel qualified to render an opinion on this subject, but after a recent trip to the East Coast, I can safely say that Shake Shack is far superior to In-N-Out. The fry situation is not even close, and the flavor of the semi-smash Angus patty does not get overwhelmed by the cheese, which is oftentimes the case of In-N-Out. I still prefer the Habit because it's cooked over a flame versus the flat top grill, but I will be making a trip to Irvine Spectrum at some point for Shake Shack. I appreciate the In-N-Out culture and don't hate the food, but it pales in comparison to Shake Shack. Disagree? Yes. Hit me up on social media, which I don't think he's on social media. That's why he's asking us to hit him up.
Boo. Yeah, real smart.
Boo, congratulations on your engagement. King Tom, the best of luck to you in the upcoming treatment. Stay strong. Eric, it was great to meet you in person this summer. Araj, Les, and Randy, see you at the next Brewery X gathering. Later, OG Rob. Thank you, OG Rob. And OG Rob did the best possible thing he could do for my birthday. He bought me a Lego of the Mandalorian and the child. But what's great is Malik was at our party on Saturday at the brewery. He was hanging out, running around like crazy. And he opened that Lego and he played with that thing for a good 2-3 hours on the artificial turf. And he was just chilling for a long, long time. So Rob, that was the best birthday present you could have possibly bought me. So thank you, Rob. And thank you for the email, Rob. And I will say you are absolutely wrong, Rob. And the reason why you don't like In-N-Out as much is because you're not from Southern California originally. You're from Northern California. So I get it. The gloomy and the rainy days. You just don't get the sunshine that's in In-N-Out. I get it.
I'm going to go as far as say, like, it's like one of those things, like, I can talk about In-N-Out like that, but you can't talk about In-N-Out
that's
like
right.
that. Like, I don't even necessarily disagree with them.
Right.
But I'm just like, you have no right. You haven't been through what I and In-N-Out have been through.
Exactly right. It hurts me.
You can listen to your wife complain about her family, but you're not allowed to.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Like, yeah, you're right. Like, I'm not a huge In-N-Out guy. I will say the double Western bacon from Carl's Jr., Hardee's for some people, is my favorite burger. Like, if it's hot and ready to go. But don't talk shit on my In-N-Out, dude.
That's like talking shit on my brother.
I'm not a big fan, but the CRV takes anything life can throw at it. That's a Community reference.
Yeah, okay.
I love the Habit burgers. I think they're...
Habit's great.
They're great burgers. Don't come out my town. Don't come out my state like that, man. Rob, you're about to lose your LA privileges, man.
He's not even NoCal. What am I talking about? He's in Washington. He's further up. Oh, yeah. I get it. You might as well be in Vancouver, Rob. That's where they have Hardee's. Habit
burgers over there. I don't know what they do in Washington.
Exactly. just for the hell of it.
Ace job liking what you like, except you.
Except for In-N-Out.
Yeah. Except you, OG Rob. You're not allowed to like what you like.
Right. Just kidding, OG Rob. We love you. Thank you for he's the best. He really is.
Good dude, man.
Anything else anybody wants to talk about?
That Beatles thing.
Oh, yeah. What was that all about?
So the song itself is coming out in the next few days. They did put up a 14-minute documentary on Disney Plus that went live this afternoon.
Oh my God.
And it was mostly vocal clips of Paul and Ringo from now, along with some old clips of George and just archive video, just kind of saying how they used the Peter Jackson technology. He made an appearance too, and it was really so I guess the original tape of John's, the piano wasn't sounding good, but the piano and his voice were kind of the same. So the AI part of it, they used the technology to separate the piano from the voice. And they played some of the raw track, and they used an orchestra that they recorded earlier this year. So they played some of that, they played parts of the song, but not everything.
How did it sound?
Not the song itself, but they played John's isolated track. They played part of the orchestra. Gotcha. Yeah. Right, and awesome. They used stuff that George recorded in 94, 95 before they decided to scrap the song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, right on, man. AI is just crazy. Just like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I thought the very first time I was going to hear a new Beatles song was on Disney Plus, which is something I never thought I'd hear myself say, but that ended up not happening.
Right. It might be on Hulu now, though.
Probably. if you can get to it.
You can find it. It'll play the first 30 seconds and then crash, and you'll have to start over, and it'll be playing the credits.
Exactly. Well, remember my movie I made with AI, Mob Dogs? I'm still trying to get somebody to, I'm going to pitch this idea.
Pastry Son sequel.
If Heil Family I'm Home or Heil I'm Home. Yeah, Pastry Son. That's the next one. If that one can get one, I think Mob Dogs can get in there. You know what I mean? Oh, well, I think it's time to end this thing, guys. What do you think? Oh, that's right. We're playing Little Alice. Oh, Lane's miss you.
Oh, I used to play this
thing. Lane Stanley jumped on me at Lollapalooza in 1994. He hit me in the head with his boot, but I loved every second of it. And I wish I could do it again, but I cannot. King Tom Chansky, King of All Pods, where can people find you?
You can find me on Patreon shows for our friends on Blue Harvest and Steel Wars and our Sith List Patreon. And you can also find me on Blue Sky and Twitter at Tom Chansky, where I'm just now getting caught up to things.
There you go. Randy, where can people find you?
You can find me on our Patreon content and on youtube.com/theSithList, where we do reactions eventually.
Eventually, we will.
Eventually.
Eventually. Maybe Heil Family I'm Home. That would be a reaction. I'm sure we'll get crazy reactions from it. Eric, where can people find you, my friend?
Check out my other podcast, Dinner with the Healers, a Bluey podcast that I do with my family. Look for me streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/mouserat2217.
And you can find me at The Sith List anywhere. Social media is found, just like OG Rob. And we will catch you next week on episode number 379 of The Sith List. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Lanes and Mike Starr.